The big question is this: how does a beauty professional who is amazing at their service actually charge what they're worth and avoid attracting clients that are a pain in the butt? How do they become the go-to expert in their space and get their creativity and ideas shared with others so they can build their following without being stuck behind the chair or in their salon?
Those are the questions, and this podcast has the answers.
My name is Jordan.
And I'm Katie, and welcome to the Real Beauty Bosses podcast.
What's going on, Real Beauty Bosses? Jordan back here with another Real Beauty Bosses podcast, and this is one I've been wanting to do for a really long time with a close friend of mine who we've been working on a project with her for quite some time. Her name is Erin Harvey. She is a proud mother of two daughters who has been a hairstylist for over 20 years, right? You spend your time meditating, weightlifting, and tracking your nutrition, and you're really into books about spirituality, quantum physics, and self-help. Your passions include laughing, inspiring others, and shifting their perspectives in order to create their dynamic, joyful lives through choice. So I love everything about you, Erin. I'm going to let you go ahead and explain to us really who you are and why you're here and why our audience should care. So Erin Harvey, let us know who you are.
thanks so much, Jordan. Yeah, so it's hard to say, first of all, where do you start? I'm a 44-year-old adult.
Yeah. You act young and hip though, so like I feel like you're like one of my sisters. We hang out, we vibe well.
That's good. Thank you. Yeah. No, I listen. My soul was just to be passionate to help inspire other people. I have two beautiful daughters. They're a lot of the reason why I continue to do what I do. Mm-hmm. When I have one of those down days, right? We all have them. Yeah. They are my why. They're my purpose. I'm literally like, okay, let's be an example and inspire other people so that they can see what their mom's doing. And so that's kind of the beginning of the shift, you know, when they were born, they're 12 and 14 right now. And they shifted a lot in me.
Yeah.
But I love weightlifting. I love working out. I love giggling. I love power red lipstick.
Everyone. Looking good today. Yeah. You just got that new look with the extensions and stuff too. It's looking really good.
Yes. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you. I just want to say too, you know, we got connected probably, it's been like what, maybe four months now. I can't even remember. We connected back in like around like October or something around that time, I think. Tell me a little bit about, you know, the way we connected was kind of interesting. You know, we were connected with Teresa, who has been on this podcast as well. And I know you guys connected and became friends. And then we connected. And it's kind of interesting way we did get connected. And I was really interested to hear, you know, the story behind, you know, why you were interested in pursuing a path that we have together. And give us a little background on, like, you know, the backstory leading up to, you know, first of all, to where you're at today, but then we'll kind of go in to talk about, you know, what we're working on together now and, you know, how you're really looking to, you know, spread that vision, that impact, and that, you know, beautiful smile with a lot of other people. So give me kind of the backstory about you up until today. You know, I feel like you have a lot of stories to share. So where should we begin?
Well, let's begin at the very beginning. Isn't that a song? Let's sing that.
Yeah.
So... you know, it's interesting. I actually just watched a video today about an interview that I had been interviewed back in December, and I watched this video, and it's fun to listen to parts of your life, right? It was just one part of my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I started at, you know, being talking about my mom. It opened up about my mom. So my mom was a single mom. My mom and my father got divorced when I was 9 months old.
Wow.
And my biological father stayed out in North Carolina where I was where I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom moved out here to Phoenix. And she put herself through school and put herself through nursing school. And so she was a single mom until, let's see, she married my stepdad when I was 8.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, looking back now, I'm like, wow, like that takes a lot. I remember she would drop us off at my babysitter's or my grandmother's, like it would be pitch black. She'd be loading my brother and I into her Volkswagen bug, you know, early in the morning to drop us off. And then she'd go do what she needed to do. And so she gave me a lot of self-confidence. I was raised in a pretty religiously strict environment, both mm-hmm. culturally and from the religion standpoint. And mm-hmm. so that kind of caused sometimes some contraindications in my head, because I didn't necessarily know if I totally agreed with all of it. And then there were some expectations and pressures that were put on me. But I can say that the good things that were raised in there is the beliefs about spirituality and Christianity, and really the idea that when I was a teenager, start to really question some of that stuff. I wasn't able to express it the way I really wanted to, but at least mm-hmm. it helped me start questioning and have a really good background.
Yeah, also good values,
Values, mm-hmm. integrity, and the actually the practice of going to church every week. In fact, I used to go to church morning before class or before high school every morning every Thursday night, social groups. So I didn't necessarily think that. So one of the things that the church that I was raised in did for me is that we, starting at about 12 years old, we had to get up in front of the congregation and speak. And I'm not sure how many times I did it, maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, but I had to do a 5 to 6 minute talk, and they would give us something to talk about. And so, you know, I was probably a kind of an overweight, shy little kid. Who had probably ate out of a lot of loneliness and whatnot. So I didn't have a whole lot of self-confidence growing up. There were some other issues because of, you know, the self-confidence issues. But something that church did for me and the culture was to help develop that leadership skills. And so my group of young women that I was with, there were leadership skills that were involved. And I got involved in some of that and really enjoyed teaching and being in front of my peers and leading. So in the meantime, you know, during high school, I kind of, I wasn't an athlete in high school. I was kind of academic, friends with a lot of different people, but I was able to be friends and communicate with a lot of different people. And I think that's something that's been a gift of mine growing up. So And I was very business minded and very, I'm super focused too. If I want something, I go after it.
Well, that's a good trait and quality to have, you know. You got to know what you want if you're going to get it, and you have to be adamant on making it happen, right? But I love that backstory because I can really relate a lot to what you just shared with me too. You know, my parents, you know, split apart when I was really young too, and you know, it was a rough and crazy time. But you know, each side of the family would kind of, you know, teach me different values and things like that, and I felt like, you know, it was almost like a blessing in disguise how the way I was kind of raised. Well, it may not look like it, you know, from an outside looking in, like I kind of see, you know, how that path and how, you know, going through that really navigated me, you know, to the path I should be on. Right. And I think, you know, I love the fact that you, you know, took to, you know, going to church and things like that and taking that leadership role to start to instill your confidence and stuff as that as well. Like, I was also, when I was really young, I was overweight kid. If you can imagine, I was actually like one of the fattest kids in school, like no joke, all the way up until like eighth grade. And so like, I had no confidence. I was always, you know, one to kind of be in the backgrounds. And, you know, it really does take, you know, that strong connection and that strong group of people that you can trust and, you know, connect with to start to build it from within. Right. But you have to, you know, be willing to, you know, get up and out there. So I love that. That's awesome. So at what point did you, you know, kind of move forward and get into, you became a hairstylist, correct? When did that happen?
Yeah. So I actually was, I was pretty academic, pretty smart kid. Thank you, God.
That's good.
I ended up going to college. I was studying international business and actually was getting a business management degree, international business certificate, and a minor in German. Because I actually lived in Berlin for the summer before my senior year of high school.
You still speak German? That's funny.
A little bit. I'd like to actually go back to Berlin and see it because I haven't seen it since 19. Well, let's see. When did I? Doesn't matter. Long time. So I was in school, and at one point, I always got really good grades, A's and B's. Had no problem. Even in brief calculus, which half the students at ASU would fail, I ended up taking it at community colleges, but got a B plus, and was very proud of that.
That's awesome.
But it was, I think, I was at ASU and I ended up getting a D in a class called statistical analysis. And I was working 35 hours a week. Yeah. And I just was tired. I was just tired and I was done. And so I quit college. Maybe one of my regrets.
Yeah.
But one of the things I truly believe, Jordan, is that there are no coincidences in life.
Yeah.
Everything happens for a reason.
Right.
God, the universe, divine order, mother, father, God, whatever you want to call it, always has this, it's this organized chaos is kind of what I say sometimes. And it all happens for a reason.
Yeah.
So I ended up quitting school. I ended up working for a couple of schools here in the Valley doing federal financial aid. And I remember the last school that I worked for, I was sitting there in the office playing solitaire half the day, bored out of my mind because I was done with my files. I had to hide it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? To heck with this, man. I'm going to cosmetology school. I'm going to go be a hairstylist. And
that's
one of my good friends. Well, she was, you know, my hairstylist at the time. She was only 5 years older than me. And I saw a cool work-life balance and being able to set her own hours. And she did this creative stuff. And she just said it. I'm going for it. And so I did.
Yeah.
And I did it with confidence.
That's good. That's awesome. Well, I actually didn't know that story before today. You know, we never really talked about like how you actually got into, you know, doing that. So that's pretty interesting. And that how old were you at this time?
Let's see. I think I was 23. So it's been about 21 years. Yeah, 23.
That's awesome. That's a long time in the industry, huh?
Long time.
What do you think like really was appealing to you to go to cosmetology school? What was like, you know, what made you feel like that was right for you?
You know, it looked like fun. Mm-hmm. It looked like a lot of fun. And I think I know this now as an adult, like I truly value human beings and I really love, I do very well in a group energy. I do well mm-hmm. with people that I resonate with, that I vibe with. Right. And I think it was a people kind of thing. And I was eloquent, able to communicate with people, and it looked like a heck of a lot of fun. I mean, heck, you know, I'm in cosmetology school and loud music was playing. I'm flinging hair everywhere, having a great time.
Yeah.
So I think the creativity part of it, plus I was actually really good in math, and believe it or not, as a hairstylist, mm-hmm. a lot of it's angles, you know, it's kind of a math thing. So
yeah.
Most people say you're artist. I don't know. I think I'm an artist, but I think in a different way. So
yeah, I love that. I think like, you know, the fact of what you just said is a perfect, you know, point to touch on too, that like, you know, I think in this, the industry of the beauty industry in particular, like, you know, it doesn't really, to an extent, it's an art and a creative, you know, passion, but at the same time too, like you have to be a people person. You have to love, you know, connecting with your clients, and you have to, you know, enjoy that aspect of it too. And so like, no, you're good.
It just went blank. I'm coming back on. Go ahead.
That's all good. So yeah, like the fact that I can tell like that is your, like you're an amazing people person, and like that you pull that out of what you do in, the beauty industry. I feel like that's why you like it more than, the side where you, you know the angles and the cuts. I feel like the, you know, connector side of you is really what, you enjoy and love most. And I think like that's a trait that, you know, in this industry, in any industry, that's all it takes is just to, you know, talk and listen to people and like connect with them. And, you know, instead of just having customers and clients, having, you know, relationships and friends, you know, and I can tell you're really good at that. Like, you know, everyone who comes in contact with you, they love you, right? Cause you're a people person. You make them feel good. You make them feel comfortable around you. And like, I think that's a super important trait to have. And, I love that. That's awesome. So you've been doing it for 20 plus years, in the hair industry, right? And what services do you like to specialize in?
Well, I really love colors. Mm-hmm. I love doing colors. I love doing permanent hair straighteners. I do something called the Yuko Systems. I think mm-hmm. I'm one of the only people here in the Valley that does it. So it's not like the Brazilian blowouts that mm-hmm. kind of fade away. This is a permanent one. And it's great. It's great money. It's great. It's easy. I love it. I've been doing it for a long time. And I think the services that I love is really the people. Because you know what happens, Jordan? Like somebody will come in and they'll go, I hate my hair. I really hate my hair. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. Me. Mm-hmm. I was growing out a pixie. For any of you that are watching, I was growing out, like my hair was shaved on the side like pink. And I decided, all right, months ago, I'm going to grow it out. And I actually mm-hmm. said to Teresa Young, I'm like, hey, if I grow this sucker out, at some point, we got to put extensions in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, flashback a month ago, I had like a grandma hairdo. It was short here, you know, naturally curly hair. I was walking around with pins in my hair, not feeling very confident. Mm-hmm. And it just because you just don't feel like yourself. I didn't look in the mirror and go, oh.
Yeah.
So I put these extensions in a couple of weeks ago and bam, like that. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Look at what that does.
So,
and it looks great. It looks really good. Like,
thank you.
Awesome job.
Mm-hmm. But for me to be able to see a person go from walking and going, ugh, I'm just
like, yeah.
2-3 hours later, they're a totally different person walking out going, oh my gosh, this feels so sexy and I love it. And I got my groove back.
Yeah.
That makes me.
And I think like, you know, so for those who are listening too, you know, we just hosted the first Arizona Six Figure Stylist event. And that's what we really talked about, how that is, you know, we didn't talk about how to, you know, educate the side of the hair and how to do all this and the extensions and all that stuff. We talked about, you know, what it takes to connect with people to, you know, charge what you're worth and enjoy what you do by making a living out of it instead of just scraping pennies and paying the bills, right? And so like, So for those who didn't know, me and Aaron, we just hosted along with Jerry and Katie and Teresa as well, the Arizona Six Figure Stylist event. And what we really talked about was not the education side of, you know, how to make the hair look good and how to, you know, do the services and the creativity and stuff like that, but more talked about how to, you know, bring that light out of people and, you know, solve problems rather than just, you know, providing a service, right? And so like in your instance too, you know, no one would ever know that you aren't happy with the way your hair is if no one cared to ask you, right? And so I think like, you know, that's what makes you great at what you do as well, is like, I can tell you're very communicative and like, you know, that's what it takes to really, you know, be able to have a solid client base that sticks with you for the long term, that tells their friends about you, and that you know, the people that are gonna, you know, pay you what you're worth because they love coming to see you. It's not just like, oh, I just want to, you know, get things fixed up and keep it the same. You know, it's coming to someone who's like, you know, so how are you feeling about the way you're at right now? You know, you feel like it's, you know, you need a notch up, you know, you need to kind of bring some more confidence to you. Like, let's do this. You know, those are the types of people that people love to be around and things like that. It's like, be on the edge, try new things, you know, keep things interesting. And right. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, in that case, you're not just a stylist, you're someone who's helping someone with their, you know, confidence as well. And you're helping them really, you know, walk different, talk different, and like be different. So I love that about you as well. So let's talk about like up until now. So you were doing hair for 20 years, right? And so when we connected, tell me about the story, like what happened up until the point that we had our first conversation. It was actually over a Zoom call. And I remember it. So tell me like what was going on in your life and what encouraged you to want to reach out and talk to me and Katie.
Well, I'm going to flash back basically a few years ago. You know, my daughters are 12 and 14. Mm-hmm. And from the time they were born, I basically was a full-time mom and a part-time hairstylist. So I was working part-time, and we're so blessed as hairstylists. We can work part-time and make great money, right?
Yeah.
Great money.
Yeah.
But I was working like 3 to 4 evenings a week, possibly usually around 3 evenings a week. So my ex-husband now would come home and then I'd go to work for 6 hours, 5 or 6 mm-hmm. hours. And then I would work every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so it worked out really well when the babies were young because I could take them to and from school almost every day. My mom would pick them up a couple days so I could work some extra evenings. But I would take them to and from school, every doctor's appointments, every dental appointments, all that stuff. They were my babies, right? My purpose and my why. And I continued with my career. Working part-time. Well, about in 2016, I filed for divorce. And mm-hmm. at that point, I moved out in October of 2016, so a month after I filed, and had to go, oh, snap, what am I going to do? Because I can't work 3 evenings a week and every Saturday because I have my girls, you know, 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. And so my income dropped quite a bit because that's, you know, for stylists, a lot of times, we work any and every hours because we don't have enough boundaries internally, which I want to talk about, like self-confidence and boundaries and really creating the life that you want. That all starts within. Mm-hmm. But so basically what ended up happening was I got divorced and I'm super blessed. My parents are awesome and have helped me. And I decided I don't want to increase my clientele because for me personally, I've got arthritis. I've got, you know, things going on physically that 20 years of being a hairstylist, but also I wanted to be there for my babies.
Yeah.
And so I started reaching out and I really did a lot of my spiritual work and reached out to the universe. Was like, all right, listen, you know, I started asking myself, well, what do I know? I know hairstyling. I know mm-hmm. this is what I know. So, okay, God and universe, provide for me what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's really hard for me because I'm actually in a space where like the type of person that's very driven and purpose oriented. And so I didn't really for a long time have any solution to my problem. And so I had to kind of manage my stress and anxiety through meditation, through exercise, through prayers, through all those good things, because I had to let go of the control, you know, that whole thing of let go and let God.
Yeah.
Right. So I just knew in my heart and soul that I couldn't increase my clientele because that would take me away from my daughters more,
you
know, more time. So, and I've always had this vision, something that I know is very, very true, and I know that I'll do that and inspire and lift people up. And so I thought I can't go against what I know in my soul. Mm-hmm. So flash forward at like, you know, basically about a year ago, I met Teresa Young through a connection and she and I just connected. And I started working with her a little bit and all of a sudden it's like the universe is just like everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Started putting people, dropping people in my place and you know, things have kind of worked all together.
Yeah.
So that now what happens is I've had people dropping hits to me last summer, like, you're so awesome, or even over that, you're so awesome on camera. You should have a YouTube channel. Gosh, I love what you do on, you know, on Facebook and you inspire people and your videos are awesome and you're charismatic and and so I literally one day Teresa said, hey, I got somebody named Katie coming and we're gonna do a little video with you and I need to video you for True Connect. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Sounds good. You know, I love that about you too. Like just to touch deeper on it, like I can tell, like even since we've met, like you're one to just like do things. Like, you don't think about it. You just let them happen and you just, you know, fall forward. And I think that's a perfect trait to have, you know, when you're looking for more. And, you know, if you want to get caught on a conveyor belt and just stay where you're at, then don't try new things. Just keep doing what you're doing and, you know, you'll stay there. Right. But in your case, like, you're taking all these opportunities that fall your way. And, you know, even if it's just like, I don't know who Katie is, I don't know who Teresa is, like, I'm just gonna go talk to them and see what happens. I love that. And I think that's like a huge, you know, good quality trait to have, you know, is just to, you know, commit first and figure the rest out later. I say that all the time, you know?
Yes.
So I love that.
I actually think it's funny because I used to probably, I don't believe in failure, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I really don't believe in failure. I believe that everything happens for a purpose. And so if something doesn't work, well, guess what? You just get up and you try something different.
Yeah.
And you've learned something. You always, it's always like that person, even like in breakups, right? You
think, yeah.
Okay, I had a breakup. What did that person teach me? What, you know, what do I need to know from this experience? So same with any opportunity that happens. I used to react a lot quicker without thinking. Now it's a little more centered. And I think that's because of my spiritual practices, but it's a little more centered and I can know intuitively, yeah, I think this is good. And then you just step over that fear box and just do it. And if it doesn't work, you're going to learn something. So So basically Katie came in and interviewed me and filmed me. And she said, you're amazing on camera. And I said, yeah, well, this is what I've been told. And and she said, well, maybe we can help you. And that's where I was introduced to you guys. So
that's awesome. Well, where did these videos start? Like when did you start doing these videos? When did people start to discover who Aaron is? Cause I feel like that really played into your advantage, was that you got yourself out there and like people started to notice. So what like encouraged you to do that? And why were you doing that?
Well, surprisingly enough, sometimes we have to take ownership of the roles that we play and who we actually really are, right? Mm-hmm. And that has just manifested itself to me in the last 6 months. I'm going to flash back towards about 2014. I was really heavy. It was about 60 pounds heavier than I am now, out of shape. Stuff was going on. I was introduced to a certain nutrition program that I started on, and I started losing a little bit of weight. And it was and I had been told, actually, I'd been told by my now ex-husband, long story that, somebody said to me or to him, Aaron finishes things, but Aaron starts things, but never finishes them. And that hit me hardcore. This was maybe 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. That hit me hardcore because I was like, wait a second. Wait, what do you mean I don't finish things? So I had lost a little bit of weight, and I had always entered these 16-week challenges that this company has, but I would never end the challenge because I never wanted to face my after photos. I was always disappointed. There was some self-shame and self-confidence issues going on in there. And one day I just said, to heck with this, man, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to finish a 16-week program. Mm-hmm. So I ended up hiring a nutrition coach.
Okay.
And continued to use the same system that I used. Mm-hmm. And just put my mind to it. And along the way, I was doing a lot of self-development, lot of, you know, reading self-development classes, going to leadership classes, doing some journaling, working on my meditation. I actually ended up getting my meditation instructor, teacher certificate through the Chopra Center. So just really like taking ownership for myself and working out who I am. And in the meantime, the one thing that I can control was my weight. So I started dropping weight. And when I was 39 years old, I would tell my clients all the time, when I'm 40, I'm going to have the body of a fitness model. And I keep saying it. I think the things we say out loud and the things we write down come to fruition, right? It's so
absolutely
powerful. So when I turned 40, I was like, I am not a fitness model. So I took ownership, hired the nutrition coach, started dropping weight. And at that point I started posting motivational, you know, quotes, maybe little, I don't think I was doing a whole lot of Facebook lives then, but maybe little videos and uploading them about my experience and what was going on. And I had this big transformation photos that came out and people were responding to me saying, oh my gosh, I have you on my vision board. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And so in that whole time of the really developing myself, it was really, honestly, Jordan, it was like digging deep to find what my flaws were without shame or guilt and stepping over them and getting over them and digging deep and being determined.
Yeah.
And I say, I got my moxie back. Like I totally got my moxie back.
I love that. What was the fire for you? Do you feel like it was the phrase your ex-husband said to you that really lit the fire, or was it other things that were going on? Cause like, that is a huge transformation that you just took in that short period of time, you know, that, hey, I'm going to decide to, you know, invest first personal development, a nutrition coach, and like go on this journey. Like, what do you feel like was the like aha moment, the turning point for you?
Well, I can honestly, we're going to go back to 2011. I actually was separated from my now ex-husband for about 10 months. And at that point, I had been trying a bunch of things to influence him with some of his internal struggles that he has. in ways that weren't authentic to myself. Mm-hmm. And so when we separated, I literally was like, what the heck is going on, man? None of this has worked. Mm-hmm. And I've been living this lie to myself, to my family, to my kids. Who am I? What the hell am I doing? You know? And I, at that point, I started digging deep and really figuring out, okay, what am I doing? Who am I? What am I all about? So yeah. Really went there. We ended up getting back together in 2012, and just, you know, life with kids, it's busy, and I'm taking some classes here and there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think when we got back together is when he told me somebody had said that to him. Well, Aaron always, you know, starts things but never finishes them. And so I think it kind of all started right about that was the spurring moment of just like of taking control and going, who am I? Because I'm out of control. You know, life is stressful.
Yeah.
Things weren't working. I was living a lie to everybody and everybody myself. And you know, that takes a lot of courage.
It takes courage to admit that even now, you know, like, that's amazing. Like, you know, just the fact that it's crazy when things like that happen, when people say that to you, you know, even if it's not completely true, it gets into your head more than ever when it's someone that you, you know, are really connected to and really have a strong relationship with. And it's like, shit, like, it takes a step back and it's like, oh man, like, you know, maybe this is right. Maybe it's not, but you know, maybe something has to change. Right. And it's just like kind of instills that into you. So that's awesome. Like, I love that story. And like, that's something that we hadn't personally talked about, you know? So I really appreciate you, you know, getting vulnerable too, because that's things that are hard to talk about. Not everyone wants to, you know, bring up those things, and the hardest parts and, you know, struggles like that we go through are the things that make our story connect with other people and that allow us to be that charismatic person. Is if we take those, you know, vulnerabilities and those weaknesses and what shifted things for us and share that with other people, it, you know, has a better impact on people too. So I'm sure there's 100 people plus listening right now that can really relate to that, but you took action on it. That's the one thing that a lot of people don't, you know, they may just get beat up over it and like start to believe it and get those false beliefs just cranking down on them. And it just makes things worse. But if you just take that and just light the fire and like, I'm going to prove this person wrong, or I'm just going to, you know, prove to myself that it's, you know, not me, then that's how you make a change and a difference. Right. So that's amazing. Well,
I think what's really important to know also, Jordan, is that you have to have a vision and you have to have hope. Mm-hmm. You have to have hope that there is like the hope that, hey, you can dig deep and do this and get over your fears, but you have to have that vision. And I probably had a vision of, you know, a fitness model body that I wanted. Right. Yeah. And that's all I focus on at the time, but I'm telling you that transformation of losing all that weight and then doing my fitness photo models or fitness photos and then having the people respond to me the way they did. I mean, my friends went from like 1,000 to like 3,500 in like 3 months.
Yeah.
And transformation photos were going over. I was getting messages and I literally was brought to my knees in humility of, oh my God, I love inspiring people. I love being able to, you know, because the transformation, not only what it did on the outside, what it did on the inside of me was a whole nother thing. It wasn't just about the weight and everything else. It was it was just getting all of that sexiness, that courage, that moxie, that person that I used to be back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I love that. And it's like also the point too, like proving it to yourself is one thing, but the fact that doing it for yourself allows you to help others is huge too. You know, you have to help yourself before you can help others, you know? So I love that. That's amazing. I'm sure it was like, look at those guns. Like, show us a shot of those. You're looking good now, right? Like, it's amazing. There they are. Like, that's incredible. So like, so at this point, like, I feel like that's when, you know, you realize that you were capable of doing more and you had the, you know, ability to impact others and influence others. And so did you like, leading up to, you know, the past year or so, did you feel like the vehicle you were in right now, like, wasn't allowing you to have those capabilities or to influence and impact more people? Or what was really like, why were you looking for something new when we came across to each other?
Why was it? Yeah, that's a very good question. So at the time, right before I filed for divorce, I was actually building my business with this nutrition program. Mm-hmm. And I did really well for numerous reasons. You know, all of my social media postings and whatnot, that's how I got all of my customers. And so I did really well. And I actually doubled my income 1 year with it. And at that point, it was great. Right. And I'm so extremely blessed. And again, it's a people skill, right? It's a people business. But I knew I was going to file for divorce. So it was basically, you know, 1.5 years of some emotional, really hard times. Like the divorce was a little bit messy.
Yeah.
And so I, at that point, knew I could not actually increase my clientele, or I'm sorry, increase my business through this program because of, you know, monetary reasons and going through the divorce. And it just wasn't in me. Like, I just couldn't do it. And it wasn't resonating anymore in my soul. And that really comes down to a lot of meditation and being connected with the universe and spirit and myself. I always say myself with a capital S.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't resonating. It just didn't feel right anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I did, I thought, okay, I've got to make more money. And I asked myself, well, what do you know? Well, you know, the hair industry. So I just literally said, oh, hey, God, universe, give me something that's within the hair industry. And I started kind of looking around.
Mm-hmm.
And again, still having this vision of knowing that I'm going to be on stage inspiring people, nothing was kind of connecting until I met Teresa, until I met you guys. And when I really accepted, this is the role I've played for 20 plus years, even though I maybe didn't give myself enough credit for being a part-time hairstylist, I was still a very talented hairstylist with an amazing clientele who loves me, who said they'll never leave me, you know? So something there is right. I've done something right. And so
they probably would say that even if you weren't even doing their hair, they were just hanging out with you.
So taking ownership of that role that I've played and really understanding that I'm part of a community of hairstylists and that there are hairstylists just like me. Who have been moms, who have gone through divorces, who have gone through shit in their life and probably don't feel confident, feel like they're living a lie, have been working split shifts, too many hours, you know, not developing themselves internally, feeling stressed, feeling like their health. I mean, man, we work in an industry where if you're not strong, if you don't take the time to actually go work out and have a routine for your body and then a practice for your mind and your soul, you're going to have like energy suckers. Our clients sometimes are energy suckers, or you're going to attract them on clients. I could go on and on and on and on.
I love that.
What's led me to where I'm at right now with you guys is developing this online education program to help people really connect their mind, body, and soul together to have less stress, better health, better, you know, work life balance, all of that stuff that we struggle with. And, and then with True Connect, you know, obviously motivating and being on stage and helping people. I love it.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love the fact too, that like, you know, your vision that, you know, I'm sure like a couple years back, like thinking like, oh, I'm going to be on stage talking to people and speaking, like, how did that like become a vision for you? Because we just talked about, you know, the dream body and stuff like that. But when do you feel like you also had the vision of like, this is what I really want to be passionate about doing? Like, I'm sure it came along with the inspiring and motivating and helping people, you know, push through to do what you accomplished to their nutrition and fitness goals. But also like, at what point were you like, it'd be kick ass if I was on stage? Like, at what point do you feel like you really had the vision to want to speak and motivate and inspire people instead of, you know, you had that shift that this is what your dream body, this dream fitness goals you wanted to have in your 40s, right? When did you feel like, you know, shit, I could be on stage, like really, you know, motivating, inspiring people on a broader scale? When did you feel like that was a vision and that could be possible?
Yeah. So actually that was in the middle of all this transformation with my body and getting the inspiring, you know, the inspiring messages. And, and I literally was like, that's my divine purpose. And I knew it in my soul. And I think the vision probably came within meditation or maybe outside of meditation where sometimes it's that knowingness, right? Absolute knowingness. It's like, this is, and I didn't know how that was going to manifest.
Right.
But I think letting go, detaching from how, but taking action steps to continue to improve myself and listening to the opportunities that are put in front of me, was really key. Right. So you have to listen, you have to take some action. You have to know what you want. And it has to be in your soul, and you have to go for it and continue to listen and improve yourself. So I think that's probably where it happened. I just kind of knowing it.
I love that. Cause like, I feel like when you just, you know, really called out all those, you know, maybe moms who have been experiencing divorce or going through those hard times who are stylists and things like that, they can connect with your story and things like that. And like, I think a lot of the time, you know, they're looking for like, what do I need to create that vision? Like, I don't really have it right now. What like advice would you maybe give to someone who is like struggling with like, they don't have their why or that vision yet, and they're looking to clarify and find it and like figuring out what their purpose really is beyond, you know, behind the chair.
Right. Yeah, totally. You know, first of all, I say, get yourself some power red lipstick.
It's like, should I do that too? That's all my problems.
Yeah. Actually, you should take Katie and go get her some power red lipstick.
Okay.
Actually, it's funny. this red lipstick has become a little bit of my trademark, and I put it on when I want to be, you know, feel like powerful. That. So mm-hmm. get yourselves to Nordstrom's or whatever. This is a cover girl. Number 507.
There you go.
But find yourself a red mm-hmm. because it does make you feel a little bit like sexy and powerful yeah. And empowered. And mm-hmm. So go get some red lipstick. Number one.
Step one. go on Amazon and order it right now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Step two.
Yeah. Step two. Step two is actually really taking ownership for the things that you need to improve in your world, in your life, right?
Yeah.
Stop being a victim and take ownership for mm-hmm. what it is that you are lacking and that you need to improve on. And then right. do something, take a class, mm-hmm. invest in yourself. My biggest thing is you have to take care of yourself and love yourself before you can love anyone else.
100%. So pick stuff.
Yeah. Right. Like yeah. it's huge. And I think when you start doing that and you love yourself enough, that vision and that why will come. I think whys can shift. I remember mm-hmm. sitting there going, what's my why? Well, of course my babies are my why. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But before it was like, well, I need to make money. Well, it was a very much of a fear-based why mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now that shifted a lot in doing a lot of my spiritual practices and my journaling and my gratitudes. That shifted a lot now where I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do this out of fear and desperation anymore. I want to do it out of divine guidance. And
right.
that's with, you know, spiritual practice and faith and letting go a little bit, but the vision will come and your whys will come. Hell, if it is just, if your why just to like, you know, for the sake of being silly is to, I need to go buy some like toilet paper today. And that's your why.
Yeah. You make know? That happen.
Right. But yeah. eventually if you continue on some of the practices that I can teach people.
Yeah.
And some of the principles and structure things for yourself, it will yeah. become, your why will become a greater vision.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a greater right. vision and purpose for other people.
Right, right. I can completely agree with that. Like, I think like in order to, you know, start to get that creative juices flowing too, like, you know, you have to get out of that fear-based why, right? You have to get out of that first and you have to find a good way to do that. And maybe for you, you know, you being able to like double your income with that opportunity that kind of came across you was maybe a good way for you to do that. You just said like, you know, getting rid of all the fear-based whys is super, super crucial, right? You have to like do what you need to do to make sure that you're comfortable and at least like not every day is just to pay the bills or buy toilet paper, right? Like you have to right. make sure you're out of that state for you to, I think, get that vision, that why, that more is accomplishable. So like, what would you like give as advice for someone who maybe like is on the lines of like where they feel like they are just like scraping their bills together and like they're just trying to make it by? What do you feel like they could do to maybe get to that next step? Because they're obviously not just going to, you know, from the bottom, just pull out and think like, oh, I'm going to help thousands of people, you know, right. like you got to help yourself yeah. first. What advice would you give to right. someone that they could do right now to help themselves?
I would say every day when you either right when you wake up in the morning mm-hmm. or when you go to bed, literally like close your eyes. It can take 30 seconds. Maybe for some people, 5 minutes, I don't know, but close your eyes, take a few deep breaths and name three things you are grateful for. Three. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just three. And you know, sometimes people want to do it in the morning. That's fine. Three things you're grateful for. Then open up your eyes and write them down. Keep a journal. Mm-hmm. And if that's the baby step that you have to start, you just start with three things that you're grateful for.
I love
you know,
that.
I mean, you could be grateful for your fingers as stylists.
Bam. Yeah.
Now they can't be the same things every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
The idea is to actually expound upon what you're grateful for. Mm-hmm. But I promise people, if you start doing that on a regular basis, that will open up that heart space and start kind of shifting some things. And you just take a few deep breaths, close your eyes, think about three things you're grateful for, open them up and write it down.
Yeah, I love that. That's honestly like the advice that I could have used when I was first getting started out on this journey. And what I think really allowed me to get in tune with myself and actually, you know, set those milestones, those visions, which started really small, you know, just maybe I need to make an extra $1,000 or maybe I just need to, you know, get out of the situation I'm in. It has to start there, right? But, you know, when you can start to really, the number one thing that I would say alongside with what you just said is to, you know, put in the time and make the time to invest in yourself to, yes. you know, read more books, listen to more audios, you know, listen to things like this from people who have gone through those struggles and listen to what they did to get out of them, you know? And so that's like what I can blame a lot of my you know, I was in a deep, dark state for a long time too. When I was, went off to college, I had, you know, my dad, got in a bad car accident when I was really young. Right. And, mm-hmm. And we talked about this a little bit, but, I've never really had like a male role model figure. And so like when I was going to college and struggling and trying to pay all my bills and, do everything on my own and support Katie and figure out what our vision and our future was, Like I was in financial debt. I had no idea what was going on. I was, you know, going out drinking, partying with friends who really were terrible friends. And I had no clarity, no vision. I wasn't, you know, even realizing what was going on up here. I was just letting things happen and just, you know, going with the flow, right? Which is a good to an extent, but when you don't have any structure, like, you know, things just go all over the place, right? And so what really like lit things on fire for me was like, I realized, I saw my, my family was going through, my grandparents have raised me ever since I was young with my dad's disability. And they ended up, when I connected with them when I was in my like sophomore, junior year of college, I connected with them after kind of being away at school for a little bit, not seeing them too much. And I started to see that, you know, they're getting older and, you know, they weren't doing well. They were having a lot of medical bills, a lot of financial bills stacking up. And my dad was getting into a worse place than I had ever seen him, getting almost to the verge of bedridden. And for me, like, I wanted to help them. I wanted to help them, you know, get better, feel better, and, you know, help them if they need help with their medical bills and stuff like that. But I couldn't do anything, you know, I had no ability to help them at all because I couldn't even figure out what was going on up here for myself. And so like, I think the first thing was like, that was my fire and my drive to really like figure my own shit out, right? Like own and take ownership for what was going on in my own world so that I could even have any chance of helping anyone else. Right. And, what I first did was, you know, I just started like, I realized how much I didn't know and how much like, you know, if I didn't make a change soon, like who knows what would happen. And, you know, my family kept, you know, getting into a worse situation and stuff like that. And like, I wasn't there to help them. I felt like I was, you know, not on the right track. So I took things back. I, you know, started listening to more audios and more things like this from people who could help me through those situations. And what I had to do was like, bring it all in, take ownership and start to really educate myself about how the mind and body works and get into those good structures, those good habits, which all started by, you know, I literally found that I needed a journal. So I went and ordered one off Amazon. I had no idea what to expect at first. I'd never done it before. And that's where it all started. I still have this first journal that I ever had. And it's funny to see like, you know, when you first try to start to write down like your goals and stuff, it's kind of weird, right? Like if you could think about the first time you ever tried to write that stuff down, it's just stupid stuff, right?
Yeah.
So like, I just stayed consistent to it and like, just kept doing it and kept, you know, educating myself and listening to audios and watching videos of people who, you know, I wanted to model and, you know, have success from. And, I think the biggest impact that had on me was keeping, you know, those things that you're grateful for every day and, those targets that you want to accomplish and what you need to do to make progress. Cause you can't make progress if you don't track anything. Right. So, I think that's perfect.
Right.
So, like I just wanted to share that because like what you just said was the reason that I got on the right track was just like, you know, no one wants to keep a journal or anything like that when they, you know, first think about it, you know. And I think a lot of people who are probably listening, like, you know, maybe they do you know, write in their journal or keep log of what's going on, but like get clear and get specific about, you know, what you're grateful for, you know, what is, you know, a big goal that you want to accomplish, and, you know, get things, you know, 10 times as big as they should be so that you can have something pulling you forward rather than just, I got to pay the bills. I got to go get toilet paper, right. You know? So, I think that's perfect. So those are two steps. Is there maybe one more so we can make this little three-step system? Let's review first. System. The first is the red lipstick. The second is, be grateful, right? Get into your morning routine. And, also, you know, keep a journal, mark track of what's going on in your life, where you'd like things to be. What else? What's maybe one extra thing that could be helpful for people watching?
Yeah. You know, my biggest thing is, I guess it all has to do with the gratitude is be silent and just listen.
I like that.
For a little bit, but that could be within, you know, doing your gratitudes. Mm-hmm. But it would also be move your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Move your body. Mm-hmm. Because you've got to be able to move. And if that's just take a walk outside around the block, you start there, you start doing something. I'm very passionate about taking care of your mind, your body, and your soul. And the body is what's going to support us, especially if you're passionate about being a hairstylist for 20, 30, 40 years, you got to take care of that body.
Yeah.
And moving it just gets the energy. We are all made up of energy, right? That's all we are, is just energy. And so it gets everything moving. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'm at the gym weightlifting, listening to crazy music and I'm moving my body, but that's when inspiration happens sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, you know, one thing that I would add too, like getting a structure and a routine in that involves going to the gym, that involve like literally schedule out the time that you spend to take those 10 minutes to, you know, take a deep breath and, you know, clarify what are you grateful for? You know, what's good happening in your life right now? you know, and then talk about what could be better, but don't beat yourself up why things aren't the way you want it right now. Right. Be grateful for what you have. But I think like 100%, like, getting your body moving and like, you know, structuring that time to go to the gym, even if, you know, you don't have to go out and pump some heavy iron, right? Like just hop on your Peloton bike, right? Like you love that thing, right?
That's, my Peloton is amazing.
Yeah. Like just getting a way that you can, you know, block everything else that's going on. Just focus on yourself, right? Like I think that more than anything is most important. So I think what would be really helpful right now, like now that I think about it, like what's a day in the life of Aaron Harvey? Like what would be like a really good, like a day by day, like checklist of things that you would want to do in a day? What's your routine? What do you wake up like? Tell us your average day. Obviously it doesn't happen every day, but what's like one of those like power days? Like what does that look like for you?
Coffee. First.
Coffee starts. Okay. Yeah. Same here.
I love coffee.
Got it right here.
Yeah, exactly. Coffee starts my day. And I do usually when I'm drinking coffee, meditation, when I do my meditation classes, sometimes I'll teach people this RPM, rise, okay. P, meditate.
I like that.
Rise, P, meditate, because it kind of gets your day started. But for me, unfortunately, if I get up and start meditating, I fall asleep. So what I say is coffee. For me personally. And then usually as I'm drinking my coffee, I'll have a few minutes just to listen to the birds. Cause I, you know, I'm up early. I listen to the birds for a couple minutes before I really check my phone or anything. And that could be 1 minute long. Yeah. I usually wake up my girls, take them to school. I go to the gym because I've scheduled that out. So sometimes my gym days are small. Sometimes it's just getting up in the morning and riding my Peloton here. That could be look for somebody else, like just going for a run or a walk outside. Right. Mm-hmm. But I always get it in for me in the morning is the best time. So same. I'll go to the gym. Yeah, go to the gym. And then after the gym is usually when I come home and I meditate. Now I have a pretty, you know, good meditation practice. So I'll come home and I'll do 30 minutes of silent meditation. I do a mantra based meditation. And so I'll do about 30 minutes after the gym. And then I hustle on my day. And I go to work and I do my businesses and my creative processes. One of the things about meditation that I'm very passionate about is that it actually, depending upon what kind of meditation, it doesn't matter, but it slows your thoughts down and opens up the space between the thoughts. And that space in between the thought is like God consciousness and creativity, right? That's where the creativity spark comes from. It's pure energy. And so a lot of times when I'm in meditation, I don't get those creative ideas. It comes outside of meditation because I've kind of dipped into that creative space and brought it out in my daily world with me.
Yeah. So it gets your brain waves like on a different level. Like,
whole thing like for your brain. It's in the, you know, the amygdala and all this. It's amazing.
Yeah. I was actually like looking into, or I was listening to a podcast yesterday that was actually talking about, you know, how, you know, those like brief moments and, you know, time away from your phone, not starting your day off with, you know, reacting with, you know, taking ownership and letting, you know, things happen and getting those brain waves the way they need to be going, will get you into that creative state. Even if it doesn't happen right then, it's just a way you set yourself to run for the whole day, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yes, I'll do about 30 minutes meditation. Then I get ready and I'm off and running for the day of doing whatever I need to do. I stay pretty organized. I write everything down. Food prep is definitely one, you know, part of my day. For me, I track my macronutrients most days of the week. So food prep is really important. I eat very clean, healthy food. I drink a gallon of water a day. So I'm always in the bathroom because I have a tiny bladder.
Hey, but rather be going to the bathroom all the time than, you know, not hydrated and have headaches all the time, right?
And then as hairstylists, we're the worst at that. That's something that I'm going to cover in my course too, because it's like, it's so important to be able to hydrate, have good, healthy food, not eat on the run. It's really good for your body too. It's very, very, anyway. So I'm always food prepping. I'm always carrying my cooler around.
Yeah.
And then I'll come home and I'll usually do a little meditation after, you know, after work. And then whatever happens in the evening, you know, depending, sometimes I work late, but I just kind of try and chill out, do my gratitudes, read some inspirational books. And then if I want, I can sit and watch a little bit of TV.
Give some time to yourself.
A little bit of just numbing out.
Yeah, you know, with the TV. That's good.
And then go to bed and do it all over again. So
I love that. Well, let's like, this is one point that before we wrap up, I really wanted to dive deep on, because I feel like I could benefit from this. How do you walk yourself through these like meditations? Because I'd really be interested. It's something that Katie and I have really tried, because you know, we're workhorses. We're working all the time. And like our brain is hard to shut things off, right? So like we have realized like how important it is for us to adopt, you know, this is stuff that I've been like really studying a lot with what you're talking about, but what works for you as far as like how you meditate, how you set yourself up to prepare for it, and how the process usually goes?
So, you know, a lot of times I'll talk about having a ritual of, you know, meditating and putting a candle, and it doesn't have to be complicated, guys. Like, really, it's not that complicated. Honestly, you can do it anywhere. My advice to you is always sit up, sit in a chair, sit up. Don't ever lay down, because if you lay down, you're apt to fall asleep, and then your body's going to think that you're going to sleep. Here's one of the things I'm going to cover in my course is the myths about meditation. So the one thing I'll let you have a takeaway of is you are never ever going to stop thinking. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I'll never be able to stop the thoughts or clear my mind. That is the biggest fallacy I've ever heard, because you have 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day, right?
Yeah.
So in meditation, the idea is to close your eyes, be quiet, and let those thoughts slow down. And so for me, I do a mantra-based meditation, and it's literally like, it's the mantra is, it's just a sound, meaning anything. And so my mantra, and then if I go off on thoughts, I'll go back to my mantra.
Okay.
And that way, and the thoughts are there. I usually just say, okay, thoughts, thank you. Come back later. And they always do.
That's awesome. That's super
cool.
Just don't
overthink it. A lot of people are scared of it. They think they don't have time for it. I mean, you can do it 5 minutes twice a day. Just start there, you know? And that's the one thing that I really want people to know is some people look at me and they're like, oh my gosh, you work out and you meditate and blah, blah, you know, you do all this. Yeah, but I started somewhere. I started with baby steps, right? And my baby step would be to tell people is to do the gratitude journal first and then, you know, start meditating basically, you know, for 5 minutes twice a day. And you could literally like just put earphones on if you want to and listen to nature sounds and just repeat, you know, thy will be done or om. Om is a perfect one.
Yeah.
You know, om is the universal sound or vibration. Just repeat that for 5 minutes and don't overthink it. Because if you can at least close your eyes and stop for a moment, and do that for 5 minutes, you're meditating. And it's going to make a huge difference. You're going to get more shit done in your life every day with more effectiveness and with less stress and better health if you do that for yourself twice a day.
Yeah, I love that. I think like that's a big thing for people who, you know, want to try meditating, feel like they need to or have to, and like they try to force it. And like if it doesn't work, they'll just throw it to the side. Oh, meditation doesn't work for me, you know? I think it's important to just, you know, let things happen. I think that's like one of the good, you know, qualities like we talked about that you have is like, you know, you let things happen instead of forcing things to happen, right? You know, I think that's huge. And I think, you know, meditation is something that I'm excited for you to get this program up and out, because I want to learn from you too, because I feel like that's like a missing piece of what me and Katie have going on right now. It's like, that's a big weakness that we have is, you know, figuring out how to shut things off and how to, you know, really make sure that we keep the brainwaves the way they're supposed to be going, and being able to close things off. Because when, you know, you're at, you know, whether you're in business, an entrepreneur, or anything in general, like, you know, when you work really hard and you have a lot of things going on and like you never really fully shut things off, it like makes you more tired all the time. You lose your creative flow and you can get burned out. Right. And that's what happens, I think, stylists as well too, is like, you know, like, you know, you have to treat, you know, these different parts of your life, you know, like the body being balanced and business that we, you know, kind of talk about, like you have to have all those kind of separate, right? They can't all just like mesh together. So I love that. So let's catch up to like kind of where we met and where we're at now and what the plan is for now that we're working on together. Because I think everything we just talked about is, I know it's going to help a lot of people. And I think so many people are going to relate to you and your story and what you're working to help other people with too, you know? So when we met, you were kind of looking for, you know, a way to, you know what you wanted to do. You knew you had the ability and passion to be able to motivate, inspire, and help people. You're just trying to find the right plug to make it all work, right? And so when we first connected, this was actually when we were first launching that Ultimate Beauty Boss coaching program, which Renee is a part of and Teresa is now a part of. And just a select few are that we're kind of taking them through, because, you know, just for me and Katie's background, when we first got started with Real Beauty Bosses, it started as just a way, you know, to help people in this industry solve a lot of the problems and gaps that they were having. Since, you know, with our backstory, working with a lot of, you know, specialists in microblading and hairstylists, extension specialists, lash extension specialists, all these people in this industry, like they could be the best in the world at what they did, but sometimes they just didn't know like how to take that next jump and that next step to, you know, move forward in their life instead of just being I'm the hair extension specialist. I'm the lash extension specialist. I'm the hairstylist down the street who does color, you know, like you got to move forward from that. Right. And we realized that there was no one really out there. You know, maybe a couple people who were trying to help people solve those problems, but no one who was there to really like bring people who have overcome those obstacles and those blocks and like everyone help people push through those. That's why we started the podcast. That's why we're here today. Right. But we also realized like people like you, you know, you didn't want more clients, right? you realized that like, right. You know, I have my daughter's at home that I need to take care of. And like, you know, I've got a lot of things going on. And I feel like, you know, if I just got more clients for my business, that would maybe, you know, solve a short-term problem of, you know, financial stress or whatever it may be. But for the long-term, it's not sustainability without, you know, unless you wanted to grow a big old business with, you know, employees and people on board, right? And so what we created with this program was a way for people like you. You there, you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. What we created with this program was a way for, you know, people like you who have this, you know, passion, this desire, this drive to want to, you know, motivate, inspire, and help more people. They need a vehicle to be able to do that. They need a way to get their messages out there. And, you know, when you're already, you know, posting videos and posting content, people are hearing about you, find a way to make that into a business. Right. And so like, that's what we've, you know, spent so much time working for. And right when we came across you, we were just actually like, it's crazy what you said. Like, I feel like everything happens for a reason and at the right time. Right. And so like, we were just putting together this program, which is going to help, you know, people like you and people like we connected with who have also been featured on this podcast, package all that expertise, that information, and that passion that they have for what they do. And create a, you know, system, a program, a way to monetize and package it, to distribute it to other people so you can actually help people, right?
Sure.
And so that's, you know, when we came across, we told you that that's what we were doing. We got to know you. I fell in love with you right away. I had no idea who you were, but we talked on camera. I felt very comfortable around you. Like I said, that's a trait you have. So, you know, we stayed in touch. And then from there, you watched our webinar. And, like, I was surprised you watched it. You're like, I'm in. Yeah. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, yeah. We're just now putting this together, you know? And so like for us, like, to get connected with you, like that lit us on fire too, to, you know, be able to put all this stuff together. And it's been a little bit of time to, you know, piece all the puzzle pieces together. We have a lot of things going on in both of our lives right now, right? Mm-hmm. And so right now, you know, we're on track. We're getting to the point where it's time to start piecing this together, right? So let's talk about a little bit before we wrap up the plan that you have right now for what we're working on. So we got connected and we've been working on this for the past 2-3 months, right?
Right.
You've been doing a lot of research to kind of try to figure out what it is that you have that you can help people with, right? So talk to me a little bit about like when we first met, we first got started, what's been kind of the journey that you've been going through up in your head up until this point?
Yeah, so I'm going to be really honest with you. Like I had a moment of thinking, I don't really have much to tell people or hairstylists, right? Because mm-hmm. when we think about what we're going to teach other hairstylists, we think about technical things, right?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
We think about things that they can actually do on somebody's hair or how to market themselves or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, the things that I could teach them about were, you know, self-confidence, stress, you know, management, health, mm-hmm. You know, spiritual concepts, spiritual development, really self-love would be the yeah. biggest thing, right? And to get that tenacious, moxie sexiness back. But how do you package that? How do you put that into something? And then, so I had to like step back and get real with myself and go, all mm-hmm. right, Aaron, what do you know? You know, mm-hmm. What do you know and what do you want to teach?
Yeah.
And so it's taken me a little bit of time to kind of go, all right, this is something that somebody really, really needs. And I've had to get over some of my fears, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to make an income just like everybody else. So this, for me, this vehicle was amazing because not only could it inspire people, but I could put together once, maybe twice, depending if I'm sure I'll improve upon it mm-hmm. and help inspire people in kind of a faster paced way is the best mm-hmm. way to say it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
While bringing some income in, because, you know, there's nothing wrong with bringing income in. We all mm-hmm. need to, it's a tool that
yeah.
the universe and God has given us. Like we need money. It's a tool. So it's a flow. So you just be creative with it. So I guess, does that answer your question? That's kind of where
yeah, absolutely. It. Yeah. Like when we like first got started on this, I know like, you know, there was some things we had to do foundational wise to really make sure that, you know, how this process works, how we're helping people. And like what you just said, like money is important too, not just from the aspect that we all need to have money, but when we invest money into, you know, like programs or people's expertise or coaching or advice, which I highly recommend anyone do, you know, it really flips the switch for people that they take it seriously and they're more willing to actually do things because right. that's another thing. Like in this day and age, there's no lack of information. It's all out there. But when you can find someone that you can connect with and that they create a roadmap and a package and a program for you to solve the problems you're having, that's worth a lot of money, right? And so, like,
absolutely,
you know, I could tell right away that you had those traits and those qualities to be able to create something for people, even if you didn't know what it was yet. You know, right, it takes a little bit of getting to know what problems people are having and things like that, right? So, like, the first thing we did was we did some research, right? We tried to find out, and surprisingly enough, you got like a ton of people responding back to your stuff.
Right.
And I'm sure that was kind of like a big, you know, exciting factor too, that like, okay, you know, people are listening to me. They do want to hear what I have to say, and you know, things like that. Right. So what do you feel like to where you're at now? What the steps we've taken has done research, right? We've gotten a little bit more clear on everything we just talked about today, that you do have what it takes to share with people. Right. So what's the plan now? When would you, for those that may be listening, who obviously will probably want to have more access to hear more from you and things like that, what's the plan from here on out?
Well, number one, get it all together and fast.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like I've done a lot of, you know, a lot of therapy actually on myself, a lot more mm-hmm. meditation, a lot of just really digging deep again for the last couple mm-hmm. of months and saying, all right, you're worthy of this. That's huge. I'm mm-hmm. worthy. I'm worthy of being able to help other people and the financial abundance that's going to flow in from it. Mm-hmm. And so now it's taking action steps and really with your help, and Teresa's an amazing friend, right? So we're motivating each other. You guys are motivating me to get it done. And mm-hmm. you know, it's awesome how all of a sudden just like the creativity is starting to happen. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm a people person, right? I need people around me to help. And so it's something that's really, I'm very grateful for, to be able to have your guys' help and have Teresa's help to sit down and just hash it out and get it outlined and done. So,
yeah, absolutely. And for those who are listening, so Aaron, you will be putting together your program really soon, right? And
yes.
You haven't come up with the perfect name for it, but what, if anything, what are three things that people may take away from what you plan to develop? Because we've done the research, we're putting it all together so that you can start to, you know, build the first few keystone type of people that you can help. So what would be some of the three major benefits that someone would maybe see from working further with you?
Well, I think what three major benefits is somebody's going to get their self-confidence back. And what I mean by that is to be able to walk into a room and just own it.
Love it.
With grace, with mm-hmm. grace,
yeah,
absolute grace, because it's going to come from the inside, not from an ego standpoint. So, mm-hmm. you know, self-confidence, number one. They're going to have peaceful creativity in their mind instead of always feeling chaos and chaos and stress about clients. What am I going to do? And stressed out. They're going to be able to have that mental capacity to be peaceful and make decisions, and the creative spark will come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing that people will have is a little more, probably a little more ability, well, actually probably a lot more ability to connect with their clients from a very authentic space,
mm-hmm.
like a very authentic, loving, you know, God-given, God-consciousness space.
Yeah.
Because if they actually do take the action steps that I'm planning, and they're going to be baby action steps, small, easy baby action steps, they're going to start feeling a little bit more love for one another, for the universe, for humans, for, you know, nature. It's, I know it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, I'm super excited because like, this is something we've been working on for a while. And like, I feel like once we get it up and out, like there's going to be so many people, like even who listen to this, who are going to be reaching out, like, I want more from Aaron. Like, cause you have, you know, such a, you know, it's like a virus when like that smile you have and the way you carry yourself and the confidence, it radiates onto a lot of people. And like to learn like what it takes to be able to do that and what it takes from within. Cause it's not something that you just have, like, you know, you weren't born with this amazing trait. And a lot of people say like, oh, you're just, you know, born as a great, you know, salesperson or a great connector or a great, you know, person. Like it doesn't happen. It takes a lot of work, right? And it takes like, you know, those habits and those routines that you kind of talked about today. And like, I really hope that everyone listening, you know, got a ton of value. I know they did, from listening to you today. And this was an awesome way for us to, you know, really connect. And I could hear, you know, you're deep in your deep story and leading you up to this point. And so I'm super excited to piece this all together. And for those who may be listening and want more access to you, where can they find you? Where can they learn more about you? Where can they, where's the best place to communicate with you?
Best place is either Instagram or Facebook. So I'm sure maybe you can post my handles.
Yes.
Instagram handle is Aaron_wellness_warrior,
mm-hmm.
Which my daughters make fun of all the time. In fact, they're embarrassed to actually, I'm like, oh no, it's staying Aaron Wellness Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube is Aaron the Wellness Warrior. And although I don't have much on YouTube yet, but I'm sure there's a lot more coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then Facebook is just Aaron Harvey.
Okay. Awesome. I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming today. The last thing I'm going to leave everyone with is, like, if someone ran into you like at the gym or something like that, and they said, Aaron, like, I've been watching a lot of your content. I just listened to your podcast, and like, I'm really struggling with getting the clarity I need in my life. And I'm really struggling with finding my vision and my why. What's one piece and one token piece of advice that you would give them? If you, anyone just stumbled across you across the street or on the gym.
That's hard. One piece of advice.
Hate to put you on the spot, but I feel like what would you say to someone like, Aaron, I love your personality. I love your, you're so charismatic. You know, you're awesome. I love everything about you. How can I be like you?
You know what I would actually say? Make a choice, because mm-hmm. we all make decisions mm-hmm. to make you important to you. Mm-hmm. Meaning you gotta make a choice that you are so important, and that you need to be the best person that you can be in order to be that for other people.
Yeah.
And that just takes action steps of some of the things we talked about today. And then, so make a decision to do that, and then just choose one action step to start integrating into your world.
I love that. That's perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Aaron. This was amazing.
Thank you.
I know a lot of people are going to get a lot of value from this, and you'll probably be getting people reaching out to you after this too. So be looking out. Aaron's going to be launching her program soon, and you get more access to her from her, and you can find her at where we just talked about. And thank you guys so much. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it.
Thank you.